This message, entitled On This Very Day, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 28th, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 1:24-25.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days whereon he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men.
Amen. Thank you. That's what Elizabeth said. God is in the process. This whole thing is all about taking away the reproach that had been upon Elizabeth. Now, let me just say right off the bat, what is she talking about? Well, she's talking about back in that day, it was very much considered a shameful thing and a disgraceful thing to not be able to have children. I mean, back in that day, that's how it was looked upon. And so you must have done something wrong. You evidently didn't do something right. And you are now, you know, not able to have this child. And so it's called a reproach. Now, if you remember, that's what we're looking at here in these weeks before we start into the Christmas season. We're looking at various words in the Bible that begin with R-E, and you know there are many of them. The idea, of course, being to like redo or restore or, you know, anything, okay? To do something over, to move on with the word and make it mean some other things that it needs to mean in order to, you know, cover both Old and New Testaments. That's been the idea all along. And we've looked at quite a few words that start with R-E, and this is the one for today, okay? The title of the message is, On That Very Day, gone is the reproach. The reproach is the shame. The reproach is the guilt. The reproach is the disgrace of something that's been done wrong, okay? And God came to make things right. Through Jesus, God has come to take away the sin and make us right before God. Amen? I'm telling you that it's on that very day, gone is the reproach. Now, you may not know exactly what I'm talking about, but you will as we dig into this. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here today. Help us, Lord, to be a people, dear God, that just grab a hold of your spirit in this time, in this day. And we know, dear God, that you have a reason and you have a purpose and you have a plan in everything that you are not only doing, but everything that you have allowed to have happen. Lord, a lot of people find it very difficult to believe that you, Lord, have anything at all to do with the heartache and the tragedy that we see go on around the world. And yet the Bible is clear that you are in control. So if you are in control, you could have stopped it. You could have stopped whatever it is, since you're in control. But you have allowed for things to happen in order to get people to see their need for Jesus in these last of days. With this shooting that took place in Pittsburgh yesterday, dear God, these three Jewish congregations meeting in one building, several people having been killed in the process. Obviously a hate crime. It was even said that all Jews must die before the shooting started. But you're still God. You didn't stop being God when that took place. You're still God. And you allowed that to happen as you allowed towers to fall and planes to crash. The fact of the matter is, dear God, all of these things, I believe, are intended to be a wake-up call to people. A wake-up call, dear God, that gets people to see their need for Jesus, especially in these last of days. So I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will truly reach into the heart of everybody, dear God. I mean, I'm thinking of people that might hear this message elsewhere in this country, elsewhere in this world. And we look, dear God, for you to have all the glory. Hallelujah. You are the one, dear God, that wants to make it clear to everybody that you are God, that you are God. And you haven't been stumped by Satan. He doesn't have the upper hand. And he's getting by with all this stuff. And you're sitting back not knowing what to do. Lord, that's not our God. Our God is in control. Our God allows many things that come about by virtue, Lord, of hatred and anger and what people do with it. It's not your fault, Lord, that these things happen. It comes from sin. And you're trying to get people to see they need to get rid of their sin. They need to hate the sin. They need to turn from the sin and come and follow you, Lord, in every way. So we want to thank you. Help us, dear God, to truly understand what the reproach is. And how you came to get rid of it. Praise the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord. We praise you, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I think it's something we've probably all noticed in these last of days. There is just such a cultural divide that is going on, to where some people take life seriously and do the things they're supposed to do. Others just say, I don't care. I don't care. They might take that approach with their job. They might take it with their relationships, with their friends down the block, or relatives or whatever. You know the attitude I'm talking about. I don't care. I just don't care about what's going on with these people. And so we'll just go ahead and ignore the whole thing. And so a lot of work and a lot of jobs are out there not being accomplished in God's way. You know, the Bible says, do what you do and do it as unto the Lord. Everything that you do, do it as though God is your boss. Quite frankly, because he is. Amen? All right? All right. I'm sure we've all noticed that the quality of work these days is pretty disconcerting. I know Kara and I have talked about it numerous times. You know, whether it's just something out in life or something with jobs or something with health care or whatever it might be. Some people just plain don't care. You know, when a doctor's office is supposed to get back to you and they don't, that's incompetence. Somebody fouled up. Do you hear me? I'm not lambasting everybody. I'm simply saying there's, you know, it's not the way it was supposed to go. And we see it all over the place, and we've mentioned it different times. Well, I heard a story about a contractor who was being shown through one of the new homes in our neighborhood by the new owner. And the owner was showing the contractor each room and explaining what she wanted done with it. But as they went from room to room, the contractor kept going to the window and yelling, "Green side up, green side up." The woman thought at first the contractor was somewhat strange, but he seemed normal enough otherwise. It's just that one thing. And finally she asked him, "Why is it that when we get to a window, you yell out green side up? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense." And the contractor explained, "I'm sorry, but I just hired a crew of rookies to put the sod in your yard." A little delayed reaction there. I like that. Yeah, that means you're thinking about it. green side up. Or what about the lawyer who had a stopped up drain in his house and he called a plumber? And after taking a plunger, the plumber took a plunger and some little solvent, some chemical, and went down and, you know, really worked on it for a matter of a few seconds, really, a minute or two. And all of a sudden it starts running and the water goes down and it's no problem, right? Runs like brand new. And the lawyer asked him, well, what do I owe you? And the plumber said, well, with the service call and the materials, it comes to $45. The lawyer exclaimed, $45? I'm a lawyer, and I don't even make that kind of money being a lawyer. And you know what the plumber said as he closed the door behind him? He said, neither did I when I practiced law. Neither did I. Or what about this one? What most people are looking for today is less to do, more time to do it in, and more pay for not getting it done. It's the way it goes a lot of times. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the attitude that's developed in society and, you know, the incompetence and so forth, and the I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I don't care about what you need or what you want or any of the rest of this stuff. You see, that's a very serious problem. Very serious problem. There is no doubt that much reproach could be laid at the door of all of the society that we have around us. You know that for a fact. You know, we're not pointing the finger. We're just simply saying you could go about anywhere and reproach could go here, reproach could go there, reproach over here. What it is an exclamation of the disgrace of it, of the wrongness of it, of the, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to go. This is not the way it's supposed to be. That's the disgrace. Okay? Now, I started with Luke chapter 1 because that happens several times throughout the Bible where the woman says, the Lord has taken away my reproach. Here she wasn't able to have a child, and now all of a sudden she has this child. She's going to have this child. In Elizabeth's case, now she conceived, and now she's going to have John the Baptist. Right? Okay? And she says, you know, she's thanking God for taking away her reproach, taking away the shame that she felt because she was not able to have this child before. Now, there are several things like that that we could look at in the Bible, but I wanted to go further back than that. All right? I wanted to go back into the Old Testament and not start right there in the New Testament. First of all, what is this reproach? What is this reproach? Webster says that it is the blame for a fault so as to make ashamed. But then what does it mean in the Bible? I mean, that's what it means in Webster's dictionary. But what does it mean in the Bible? And what does it mean throughout the Old Testament and through the New? Okay? It's pretty common to speak of reproach, as I said, when you're talking about a woman who is not able to have the child. And so when she sees that child coming along, she says, God has taken away the reproach, taken away the disgrace. Amen? Okay. There's a little room right behind that wall if you want to do that. Okay, yeah. It's up to you. All right, praise God. So I don't want to start there. I want to go back to Joshua. And if you'll all do that, I think we'll start to see how this all comes together. Would you look at Joshua? Oh, look at that. My bookmark in Joshua is a dollar bill. But a fake one. See how I worked that in, Lily? She gave me this a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I said, well, it's going to end up in a children's sermon or a sermon or something or other. Well, there it was. It was my bookmark. Okay, It's Joshua chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? Joshua chapter 5, and I want to begin with the 9th verse. Yeah, chapter 5, I'll begin with the 9th verse. Now watch, and follow along, because you'll be able to see it pretty clearly. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. This day, on that very day, God is saying, I have rolled away the reproach. I have taken it away. Literally in the Hebrew here, it refers to a shame and a disgrace. And quite frankly, it has to do with the fact that originally, of course, they had the law of the circumcision, you know, to show that they were part of God's people. But then for years, they hadn't done it. Okay? They hadn't done it. And so there's a reproach in that. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Praise the Lord. Gilgal has to do with a wheel. And what does that conjure up in your mind? It kind of brings to remembrance a moving forward, doesn't it? A moving forward. You got a wheel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. It talks about a circle, a wheel that can do what? Roll, right? Well, what did he just say? I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. I've stuck it in the wagon and I've hauled it out of there. You no longer have this reproach. No longer will you have this shame. And the children, now watch this. This is so cool. Watch this. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They got back to celebrating the Passover. Now watch this. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. On that very day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. The miraculous provision that they had of the manna is over. At the very same time, they have the old corn that's in the land. Come the next year, of course, maybe they'll get a chance to plant some stuff and have some fresh corn, but this is the old corn that they found in the land. At no given moment in time were the people of Israel left without a provision from God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Praise God. Let me just go on with the story for a second so you can see what it's all leading up to. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Praise God. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? He asked this guy that he just finds out in the woods there. And he said, nay, this guy that's out in the woods, he says, basically he says, it's not either one of those. It's really not either one of those. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? A lot of people, a lot of commentaries believe that this is the angel of the Lord. That this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Christ before he infiltrates and becomes the spirit of Jesus in the New Testament. A pre-incarnate. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Oh, praise God. Why? For the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. The same thing happened at the burning bush when Moses was standing there. And the Lord, speaking from the burning bush, said, take your sandals off. All right? Take your sandals off. You are standing on holy ground. Reproach. He's rolling away the reproach. The Hebrew word here is cherpah. Cherpah. C-H-E-R, if you want to jot it down, it's up to you. Cherpah. C-H-E-R-P-A-W. It means disgrace, it means rebuke, and it means shame. And it comes from a word, listen to this, it comes from a word that means to pull off, to expose by stripping, to defile, to fail, and to abrade. You see, the people had ignored the circumcision, and now they were coming back into it, and God was going to take the reproach away. Was going to expose them and take away the sin. Right? Pull off, expose by stripping, defile, fail, and upbraid. You see, God, praise the Lord, was starting all over again. This was a new land, the promised land, and it was new food, no longer the manna. Okay, no longer the manna. Now it's going to be a food that's produced in the land. The manna had been a miraculous provision, but now they would come to a place where they see beyond the miracle. Amen? They see beyond the miracle. God was with them and soon would be in them. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. But they've got to be circumcised. The flesh must be cut away. And as we are to experience the ongoing circumcision of the heart, as the Bible says, right? We've got to be willing to have something cut away. Something of the old life. Something of the flesh. All right? That's the first thing. Are you ready to go a little bit deeper? Are you ready to see how God literally grabs a hold of this word? Well, grabs a hold of the word reproach, I'll put it that way, and expands upon it. You want to see that? Okay. Turn to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 14. Praise God. Chapter 14 and verse 34. And that's it. Chapter 14, verse 34. It's just a short verse. Remember, in Proverbs, a lot of times one verse is the whole message. And that's the case here. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. Sin is a reproach. And in the King James, it says, to any people. But the definition in the margins suggests that to any people is talking about the nations again. But it's more than the nations. It's also the people of Israel. Sin is a reproach. It says to any people. Amen? So if you are living righteously, that will exalt the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, any nation, that insists on staying in that place of sin. Now, this is rather interesting, and you're probably not even going to hardly believe this is the case. But the Hebrew word now for this reproach is chesed. Chesed. Now, that should be somewhat familiar to you. It should be kind of ringing around in your brain like we've heard that before. Chesed. It literally is referring to a kindness to God. for you to recognize your sin, to hate it, and to turn from it, so God can take it away from you, take away the reproach of the sin. Praise God, you are being kind to God. Do you understand me? If you'll recognize and admit you've got the sin and you hate it, you want to turn from it, praise God, that's being kind to God. See, that's what chesed is. It's the kindness of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the long-suffering of God. And it's usually used in speaking of God himself, like it's his long-suffering. But in this case, it's a people who recognizes their own sin, knows it's against God, hates it, turns from it, and in so doing is kind to God. You hear that? Amen? Yeah. Yeah, amen. When people recognize that it's their own sin that is the reproach, and you turn from that sin, that is kindness to God. The other ways that this word is translated in the scriptures is piety, mercy, favor, a good deed, and all of it wrapped up together in one word, chesed. If you're wondering how to spell that, you just kind of spit a little bit and say, Ed. Chesed. All right? It's literally transliteration of the word. I'll put it in English so you can know how it looks. C-H-E-S-E-D. C-H-E-S-E-D. Chesed. All right. It comes from a word, now get this, it comes from a word that means to bow the neck to an equal, not a subservient, like you could find in some scriptures, but to an equal. Do you know what this means? This is talking about how God sees you in salvation, how Jesus recognizes you from the cross, from your submission to his mercy and grace that he has accomplished on the cross. God takes that reproach away that very day. What very day? The day of the cross. And as that cross affects you in your life when you submit to it, that very day the reproach is taken away. All right? So this particular word is looking at it like, you know, God bows the neck to an equal. Can you get that for a second? God's looking at you and me as an equal. We're not really, but in Jesus we are. Do you hear me? Amen? And that's how God sees it. Now, there's a very similar word, and I would probably be amiss to not mention it. There's a very similar word, the word for Canaan. Canaan was what? The promised land, right? The promised land. And the word for Canaan, get this, means to stoop in kindness to an inferior. Amen. To an inferior. So it's the other side of the picture. It's the other side of the coin. Not God bowing down to an equal, but now bowing down to what everybody else can see as inferior. A very inferior people were inheriting the promised land. And we too, inferior. Okay? God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen? We are inferior in that sense of the word. And God stoops in kindness to an inferior. Do you realize this is not normally done? The king does not bow to his servants. The king does not bow to his slaves. The king sits up on the throne and orders people around. Right? But in God's case, he's there for you. He's there for me. Amen? Yeah, right? Praise God. And as such, we inherit heaven itself. Not because of them back thousands of years ago, and not because of us in today's day, but because of God and His love. Glory to God. Amen. A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. He said, grace will save a man, but it will not save him and his idol. If in absolute freedom, God has willed to give man limited freedom, who is there to stay his hand? Who is there to stop him or even say to him, what doest thou? What do you think you're doing, God? Man's will is free because God is sovereign. A God less than sovereign could not bestow moral freedom upon his creatures. And Tozer adds to that, he says, he would be afraid to do so. Imagine the mess he could have. Amen? So he comes, he gives his Son, he gives his Holy Spirit, and now we can be filled with God himself. Amen? That's a whole different story than you trying to be good on your own. Amen? And Tozer often said, he said, it may be said without qualification that every person is as holy or as full of the Spirit as he wants to be. And I know people, they hear that and they could object to it. They could say, well, I want to be more holy. Well, then the question then becomes, then why aren't you? If you want to be, God's willing to give it. God's willing to give it. It's that you think you want to be, but you haven't come to that place of total surrender. If that's a good word for what we're talking about there. So I think he's right. I think he's right. We're as holy as we want to be. Not what we wish we were, but what we really want. Because you will come to Jesus for what you really want and need. Amen? And he gives it. Praise the Lord. And that, guess what? That brings us to the New Testament. So now we've seen a couple of words that are translated as reproach. All right? We saw what God did with it. Okay? Where the reproach and the blame and the shame is truly conquered. I want you to turn to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. All right? And this is the faith chapter. And it goes through and talks about several people from the Old Testament. All right? And then we start with Moses in verse 23. Everybody there? Hebrews 11, verse 23 and following. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Saw that there was something that God was going to use him for because of the miracles that had already taken place. He was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment because they knew God was with it. Amen? They're not afraid. By faith, Moses, listen to me, was come to years. When he was come to years, in other words, got older, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew there was something better to get out of life than to be some hotshot from Egypt. So he didn't worry about that. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction, watch, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than, praise God, the treasures in Egypt. He saw doing things God's ways, doing things the way Jesus would do it. Now remember, he's living centuries before that, but he recognizes the reproach of Christ. And of course, this is being written about Moses, you know, in the New Testament, post-Jesus, so to speak. All right? So he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than riches. In other words, he saw being involved in the reproach that Christ went through, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, all of it, the persecution, everything. He saw that as better than staying in Egypt and having all of the stuff of Egypt. For he had, now watch this, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. A half a sentence and it's got three R-E words. Some we've talked about. Respect, recompense, and reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Before I say another thing about it, I want you to turn to chapter 13 of Hebrews and look at verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Let us go, therefore, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Ultimately, it's speaking of Jesus, who is willing to go outside the camp. Literally outside of Jerusalem, to Golgotha, to Calvary, where the cross was, to suffer the reproach, the disgrace. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, meaning outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And once again, In the Greek, it's speaking of an upbraiding, a reviling. It's the opposite of praise. It's the opposite of blessing. I'll show you that in just a minute. Moses saw the reproach more valuable than being in Pharaoh's family. We too have got to come to the point where we see being in Jesus' family is more important than being in the world of the family of the world. Amen? To see what Jesus went through is far more important than anything. And to allow it to be the price paid for your sin and mine is greater than anything. Anything. The Hebrew word here, and I'll close with this, the Hebrew word for this reproach in the New Testament here is kasaw. Kasaw, K-A-W-S-A-W. It means to plump up and to fill up the hollow in order to make it stronger. Literally, it's referring to your hand. Everybody take your hand, put it out in front of you so you can see it. See the palm of your hand. Look at it like this. Do you have a hollow in your hand? Do you have a dip? Everybody got a dip in your hand? This word is literally talking about fill that up to make it stronger. To grab onto God. Fill up the hollow of your hand with God's Holy Spirit. With Jesus himself. To make it stronger. You no longer have that hollow, that skinnier spot in your hand. Literally, that's what that's referring to plump up, to fill up the hollow and make it stronger. It is also talking about a cover for clothing, for example, literally like putting on a glove, right? You put on a glove that fits, right? You put on a glove that doesn't fit, what are you going to be able to do? Not much. You're going to be fumbling all the way, you got fingers sticking out another 2 inches or something, and you can't grab anything and you can't do much with it. Amen? The glove that fits. Cover for clothing or secrecy. To be clad, to be clothed, to be concealed, and to be hidden. On that very day, all things are new. On that very day, it's a new land, people. Amen? It's a new land. It's no longer a arid wilderness. It's the promised land, praise God. On that very day, we're talking new food. Amen? God's food. He's ended the provision of the manna, and now you take of the fruit of the land. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen? And on that very day, it's a new life. Everybody see it? Do you see that? It's a new life. On that very day, praise God, gone is the reproach. On that very day. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this truth that is here before us. This word reproach is just so powerful. We've seen it from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we know, dear God, that you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, dear God, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who comes to take away the sin of the world, to take away the reproach on that very day. On that very day. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we can trust you in this. We can put our faith in you. Oh, we can trust you every step of the way in all of this, dear God, because it's you that's doing it. And you've made it clear that you want us to just keep keeping on, I guess maybe would be the way to put it, to just take every step that you put before us on that very day. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I do come before you, dear God, right now in this very time, and do ask that, of course, everybody here, or everybody, dear God, that will hear this message in one form or another, will know that the reproach can indeed be taken away. I pray, dear God, that you touch this world. You touch the church all over this globe. You touch, dear God, the synagogues of Pittsburgh. And you, Lord, would show people, dear God, that you want them in your kingdom. You don't want anybody hanging on to some old situation, Lord, that is not of your hand. So I pray, dear God, that you would be upon so many people in this day, and you would get the glory. Hallelujah. So very important, Lord, that you get the glory. We pray this all, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.